Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, November 19th, 2024. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. We're almost finished this book, and December will be in Zechariah. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Joel chapter 3, verse 18 gives just a little picture of the great economic prosperity and productivity in the millennial kingdom. Now, if you listen to all the liberals today, they say we're destroying planet Earth. If you drive a gas car, if you have a range in your kitchen that uses gas, the liberals, they were ready to pass a law that you can only use electric range. And you can't use have gas. Fireplace, you have to have an electric fireplace. Electric fire, real, the best fireplace is wood fireplace. Burn wood, smoke, everything. That's the best one. But gas, that's real close. Electric just reminds me too much of electric cars, electric everything else, and I just don't want it. They always are coming around saying, well, don't you want electric this and electric that? And I look at them, no, I want gas. I'm trying to destroy planet Earth. Well, the liberals, you listen to them, we are destroying the planet. Well, got news for you. God's got news for you. The planet, when Jesus Christ returns, and he will return the second advent, for 1,000 years on this planet, 1,000 years, perfect environment, perfect air. Air will be absolutely fabulous. Perfect water. Lots of food. And I think everybody will drive a gas-operated vehicle. There's all kinds of gas. oil in America. We don't have to be relying on the countries in the Middle East. World peace. There will be no army, no navy, no Marine Corps, no Air Force, no Coast Guard. There's no need for it because the Prince of Peace is ruling on planet Earth. World peace. 1,000-year perfect environment, perfect prosperity, perfect productivity. Well, verse 18 just gives a little view of that. Verse 18 says, and it will come about in that day, the day of Messiah's reign on the earth, the 1,000-year millennial kingdom, that the mountains will keep on dripping new wine, and the hills will keep on flowing with milk. And all of the riverbeds of Judah will keep on flowing with water. And, in fact, a spring will keep on going out from the house of the Lord, and it will keep on irrigating, watering the valley of the acacias. That's just a little picture, verse 18. Then in verse 19, Joel switches to vengeance, judgment from the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God on other nations. And the one specifically with the spotlight on them in this verse is Egypt and Edom. Verse 19, Egypt will become a devastation, a waste, and Edom will become a desolate desert because of the violence done to the sons of Judah, in whose land they have shed innocent blood. And that's going on as we speak. The reason for the judgment on these nations is horrific anti-Semitism. God has a plan for Israel. It's a magnificent plan for Israel. God has elected Israel to privilege, election to privilege, the nation Israel. And they are going to go, when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, near the end of the tribulation, there will be a tremendous remnant of Jews who will realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And they will believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. A huge remnant. Right now, for the most part, they are suffering from blot out of the heart, blot out of the soul. They don't see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Now, there's marvelous exceptions. And we've had some of those marvelous exceptions in here. Greg Morton, Don Lewis, marvelous exceptions of Jews that recognize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, believed in Jesus Christ. There are those wonderful grace exceptions. But for the most part, right now, the Jewish people are suffering from blot out of the soul and the heart. But near the end of the tribulation, they will realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and there will be a huge remnant of Jews who will believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they will be rescued and delivered, brought into the millennial kingdom. And when they're brought in, they become the nation, the capital of the world, and the whole world will be blessed by association with Israel. The whole world. David will be the prince who rules Israel. Remember, winner believers will rule with Christ in the millennium. David is a great, great winner believer. And he will rule Israel in the millennial kingdom. And the Son of David, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, will rule the entire earth from Jerusalem. All of that God has in this magnificent plan for Israel. Satan, right now, is the ruler of planet Earth, and he's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of every believer in Jesus Christ, and he knows that he's in, it's an angelic combat, it's a war. Satan trying to win the war. And he is so arrogant, he thinks he will. And so if he can destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, he will win the angelic conflict. So where does anti-Semitism come from? It comes from the ruler of this world right now, Satan, the devil. He is trying every way possible to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. So the reason for the judgment on these nations is horrific anti-Semitism. Specifically, physical violence done to the Jewish people. And then that brought us to verse 20. And in verse 20, we have special blessing on Israel and the Jewish people. But Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem for all generations, all future ages. Now, we exegeted verses 18 to 20, but we haven't summarized verse 20. So, point one, some of you just don't feel like you're here unless you hear point one. Point one, prior to the second advent of Jesus Christ, Israel, the Jewish people, will recognize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And many, many Jews will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Prior to the second advent of Jesus Christ, the Jewish people, many, many Jews will recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And they will believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Now I want you to turn over to Zechariah. We're going to be in Zechariah when we get in December, but this is Zechariah 12. We probably won't be in Zechariah 12 till the rapture takes place. But anyway, we can read, study it now. Zechariah chapter 12. We'll start at verse 1. This is the word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the spirit of man within him, declares, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem on that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her. Armageddon. I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves. On that day, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness, declares the Lord. I will keep a watchful eye over the house of Judah, but I will blind all the horses of the nations. And then the leaders of Judah will say in their hearts, The people of Jerusalem are strong because Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies. You might have the Lord Almighty. It's Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, is their God. On that day, I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, like a flaming torch among sheaves, and they will consume right and left all the surrounding peoples. But Jerusalem will remain intact in her place. The Lord will deliver the dwellings of Judah first, so that the honor of the house of David and of Jerusalem's inhabitants may not be greater than that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem, so that the feeblest among them will be like David, the greatest soldier in Jewish history. And the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them. On that day I will set out to destroy all the nations that attacked Jerusalem, Jesus Christ at the second advent. And verse 10, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. This is when, this will be a fantastic ministry of God the Holy Spirit near the end of the tribulation. Through the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit, He will make the gospel clear to the Jewish people. And at this time, they will see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They will be positive, have positive volition at gospel hearing. Some of you, do you know what supplication means? See, it says grace and supplication. I didn't think. You didn't think you knew what supplication is. It's to pray with humility, with great humility. And at that point in time, near the end of the tribulation, during the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit, the light will go on in the large, many, many Jewish people. The light will go on. And in humility, they will believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will make the prayer of salvation, faith in Christ. So the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace and supplication, they will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourned for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. On that day, the weeping in Jerusalem will be great, like the weeping of Hadad-Ramon in the plain of Megiddo. The land will mourn, each clan by itself, with their wives by themselves. The clan of the house of David and their wives, the clan of the house of Nathan and their wives, the clan of the house of Levi and their wives, the clan of Shimei and their wives, and all the rest of the clans and their wives. Chapter 13, verse 1. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. This is a phenomenal passage. So let's explain exactly what Zechariah is teaching here in Zechariah 12:1 to 13:1. Subpoint one, in Zechariah 12:10, the Spirit of grace and supplication is God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of grace and supplication is God the Holy Spirit. Subpoint two. The Holy Spirit is given this special title because He will minister graciously to Israel in her sinful condition. And through the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit, He will turn the light on in their heart as the gospel is given. He will lead many to supplication and repentance. Repentance, they change their attitude about Jesus Christ. They realize that He is the Messiah. Supplication, with humility, they pray and believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ. Subpoint three. The fountain in Zechariah 13:1 refers to the cross and Operation Grace, the salvation work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was imputed with the sins of the whole world and judged for those sins. Subpoint four. On the day of Christ's crucifixion, the fountain was opened potentially for all Israel, as well as the whole world. 1 John 2:2. And he Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Unlimited atonement. So on that day of Christ's crucifixion, the fountain was opened potentially for all Israel as well as the whole world. Unlimited atonement. Subpoint five. At the second advent, the fountain will be opened experientially for the Jewish nation. At the second advent of Christ, the fountain will be opened experientially for the Jewish nation. Six, the fountain will be opened for the salvation for all those Jews with positive volition at gospel hearing, living at the time of the return of Christ, and believe in Him for eternal salvation. At the second advent of Christ, the fountain will be opened experientially for the Jewish nation, and the fountain will be opened for the salvation for all those Jews with positive volition to gospel hearing, living near the end of the great tribulation, and believe in Him for eternal salvation. Subpoint seven. The fountain represents the spiritual cleansing of all of their sins. The fountain represents the spiritual cleansing of all of their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ solved the world's problem of sin by His work on the cross. So the fountain represents the spiritual cleansing of all of their sins. Subpoint eight. The spiritual cleansing of the nation Israel is associated with other passages of Scripture, with Israel's spiritual regeneration and the inauguration of the new covenant. The spiritual cleansing of the nation Israel is associated with other passages of Scripture, with Israel's spiritual regeneration and the inauguration of the new covenant. And the prophecy about the new covenant comes from Jeremiah. So turn over to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Starting at verse 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. This phrase is used by all the different prophets prophesying the millennial kingdom. With regard to Israel, I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. They will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. Now, it's also prophesied by Ezekiel. Turn over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, starting at verse 24. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you, God the Holy Spirit, and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. That phrase, again and again, describing the remnant of Jews, those who will believe in Jesus Christ and live in the millennial kingdom. Now, also the New Testament. Turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Starting at verse 25, Romans 11:25. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. The mystery is the mystery of the church age. We're living in the Mousterion dispensation. Nobody knew about the church age in the Old Testament, knew nothing about it. It's this mystery doctrine. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel. That's where they are right now. Right now they're operating in this partial hardening. You could call it the blot out of the soul. That characterizes most of the Jewish people right now. But it's going to change. It's going to change as they get near the end of the Great Tribulation, and they will realize Christ is the Messiah, the common grace ministry of the Holy Spirit, turning the light on, and then all of a sudden, oh. And it's going to break their heart. It's going to break their heart because they know what they, how they treated Israel, or how they treated Jesus Christ at the first advent. Lest you be wise in your own estimation that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That's the end of the tribulation. And thus all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. And this is the covenant with them when I take away their sins. Romans 11, 25 to 27. Now in Romans 11, 25, let's just explain this so you got it. This mystery refers to the unique dispensation of the church age that we are living in. The dispensation of the church age was not known about in Old Testament times. The age of Israel has been interrupted for the calling out of the royal family of God in the church age. In this unique dispensation, the church age, when the church age is over at the rapture of the church, then the last 7 years of the age of Israel, the tribulation, will be completed and will come to an end at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a part of the mystery of the church age is that for the most part, the Jews are experiencing a hardening of their heart, a partial hardening of their heart, or you could call it the blot out of the soul. Now this hardening is a partial hardening. There is a remnant chosen by grace at the present time in the church age. There is a remnant chosen by grace. Look over to Romans 11. Romans 11 verses 5 and 6. Romans 11 verse 5. In the same way then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious election of Israel. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. So Israel will be delivered from the persecution of the Antichrist and the tribulation at the second advent by the great deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 11:26, when it says there in Romans 11:26, all Israel will be saved, that does not mean that every single Jew living on at Christ's return will be a believer. Many Jews will not be saved. They will not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, as seen by the fact that the judgment of Israel, which follows soon after the Lord's return, will include the judgment of all Jewish unbelievers. Now there's going to be a great remnant who will recognize Christ is the Messiah. But there will also be a group of Jewish people who do not believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Now, after Christ comes back at the second advent, he then takes all the people and separates the believers from the unbelievers. The believers go into the millennial kingdom. The unbelievers are judged by Jesus Christ. This is true for Gentiles, and this is true for Jewish people. Now, we see this with the Jewish people in Ezekiel chapter 20. So turn over to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. Starting at verse 34. So remember, now Christ comes back, and there will be a huge remnant, Jewish people, that when God the Holy Spirit in common grace presents the gospel, the light goes on, and they realize Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and they believe in Him, eternal salvation. They go into the kingdom. But there will also be Jews that do not believe in Christ. They are unbelievers. What happens to them? Well, they come under judgment, just like the Gentiles. There will be a lot of Gentiles that will believe in Christ. They go into the millennial kingdom because they are believers. The unbelievers will be judged and cast. They're the separation in Matthew of separation of the sheep from the goats. Sheep being the believers, the goats being the unbelievers. And we studied those passages. Ezekiel 20, verse 34. I will bring you from the nations and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with outpouring wrath. These are the Jewish unbelievers. I will bring you into the desert of the nations, and there, face to face, I will execute judgment upon you, the Jewish unbelievers. As I judged your fathers in the desert of the land of Egypt, so I will judge you, declares the sovereign Lord. I will take note of you as you pass under my rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge you of those who revolt and rebel against me. Although I will bring them out of the land where they are living, yet they will not enter the land of Israel. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So this is the passage that describes when Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, there will be believers and there will be unbelievers. There will be Gentile believers, there will be Gentile unbelievers. There will be Jewish believers, a great remnant of Jewish believers, and there will be Jewish unbelievers. This describes the judgment on the Jewish unbelievers. Now, after Solomon died, the nation Israel was divided into two kingdoms in 931 BC. The southern kingdom was known as Judah because Judah was the largest tribe and because the country was ruled by a king from that tribe. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 16 to 24. The northern kingdom was called Israel, or sometimes Ephraim, because Ephraim was the strongest and most influential tribe, and because the first king of the northern kingdom was an Ephraimite named Jeroboam. The northern kingdom was taken into captivity by the Assyrians in 722 BC. the administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline. The southern kingdom was taken into exile by the Chaldeans in 586 BC, the administration of the fifth cycle of national discipline. So, subpoint one, the uniting in Ezekiel 37, 15 to 17, the uniting of the, there's two, in that passage, there's two sticks. The two sticks in Ezekiel 37, 15 to 17 picture God restoring and reuniting his people in the land as a single nation. The uniting of the two sticks in Ezekiel 37, 15 to 17 picture God restoring and reuniting his people in the land as a single nation. This is reiterated by Hosea. Hosea chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Hosea chapter 1, verse 10, they will be called the sons of the living God, the people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited, and they will appoint one leader and will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel, the millennial kingdom. Hosea 1, 10 and 11. Subpoint 2. They will recover from their reversionism and hardening of the heart. And God says over and over, they will be my people and I will be their God. Not only seen in Jeremiah, seen in Ezekiel 11 verse 20, Ezekiel 14 verse 11, Ezekiel 36 verse 28, Ezekiel 37 verse 27. They will be my people, I will be their God. In the millennial kingdom, the remnant in the millennial kingdom. Subpoint 3. Then united Israel will be led and ruled by David, the greatest king they ever had. David will rule the nation Israel. Winner believers in the millennium will rule nations in the millennial kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ will rule the whole earth. But winner believers will rule nations. And David, one of the greatest winner believers, will rule Israel. Ezekiel 37:24. For as the Lord Jesus Christ's servant, David will now shepherd the nation Israel in the millennial kingdom. As the Lord Jesus Christ's servant, David will now shepherd the nation Israel in the millennial kingdom. 5. The special blessing for Israel in the millennial kingdom is that they will have an eternal inheritance there. And David will be their prince. The special blessing for Israel in the millennial kingdom is that they will have an eternal inheritance there, and David will be their prince. Ezekiel 37:25. And we've already seen these passages. Subpoint 6. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, will remain with them forever and will rule the entire world from Jerusalem. He will remain with them forever and will rule the entire world from Jerusalem. Subpoint 7. The visible reminder of the Lord Jesus Christ's presence in the millennial kingdom will be the millennial temple His dwelling place. Ezekiel 37, 26 to 28, and we've seen these passages. The visible reminder of the Lord Jesus Christ's presence in the millennial kingdom will be the millennial temple, His dwelling place. The detailed plans for the Lord Jesus Christ's millennial temple is found in Ezekiel chapter 40, 41, 42, 43. Chapters 40 to 43 in Ezekiel gives the detailed plans of the Lord Jesus Christ's millennial temple. Subpoint 8. This great millennial temple will clearly present to Israel and all the nations of the world the presence of the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling planet Earth in the midst of His people. So this great millennial temple will clearly present to Israel and all the nations of the world the presence of the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling planet Earth in the midst of His people. All right, that was point two. Point three. There are four groups of people who will enter into the millennial kingdom. Four groups of people will enter into the millennial kingdom. Three groups will enter in resurrection bodies, and one group will enter in their physical body. So four groups of people will enter into the millennial kingdom. Three of them will enter in resurrection bodies. One group will enter in physical bodies. Those who enter in their resurrection bodies will be Old Testament believers. The church, that's us, the body of Christ, which is now the bride of Christ, the royal family of God, and tribulational believers who were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. So those who enter in their resurrection bodies, Old Testament believers, the church, the body of Christ, now the bride of Christ, and tribulational believers who were martyred for their faith in Christ. The believers who survive the tribulation, they will enter the millennial kingdom in their physical body. So those believers, both Gentile believers and Jewish believers who survived the tribulation, they will enter the millennial kingdom with their physical bodies and they will procreate and repopulate the earth. Now when the millennial kingdom begins, there's almost no people living on the earth. They're all killed in the 7-year tribulation. Most of the people on planet Earth died, destroyed, killed during that 7-year tribulation. And those who are still living at the second advent, well, all the unbelievers are judged by Jesus Christ and removed from the earth. So the people in physical bodies on planet Earth, very, very few. Very few people living on planet Earth at the beginning of the millennium. Now, the millennium is how long? 10 minutes? 1,000 minutes? 1,000 years. Now, the only thing I have thought about this, I'm sure you ladies are glad that you won't be there in physical bodies in the millennium having 100 babies, you know. Because you're going to live to be the whole 1,000 years. And so you can just keep on going, you know. Well, at least for 500 years, you can just keep on tossing them out. You're going to run out of names. But so only believer, point four, only believers will enter into the millennial kingdom. So following the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will judge the nations, separating believers from unbelievers. He will put the believers, the sheep, on his right hand and will give them the kingdom prepared before the foundation of the world. And we've studied that in Matthew 25, verses 31 to 34. So following the second advent, Jesus Christ will judge the nation. That's the nations are the Gentiles, separating believer from unbeliever. He will put the believers, the sheep, on his right, give them the millennial kingdom prepared before the foundation of the world, Matthew 25, 31 to 34. And the unbelievers, the goats, will be put on his left hand, and their destiny will be the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25, 41. And that's the Gentiles that are judged, and we saw the passage where the Jewish unbelievers are judged in Ezekiel. Point five. Those entering the millennial kingdom in their physical bodies, who are blind or lame or deaf and dumb, and dumb doesn't mean your IQ, will be immediately healed. Those entering the kingdom in their physical bodies who are blind and lame and deaf and dumb can't hear or speak will be immediately healed. Turn over to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. And this is just fantastic. In the Old Testament, they knew nothing about the church age. That was a mystery. Mysterion. They knew nothing about this dispensation, the church age. But boy, they knew a lot about the second advent, the tribulation, the second advent, and the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. And they presented it beautifully throughout the Old Testament scriptures. And there's a lot of pastors today, they don't teach the Old Testament. They don't teach the Old Testament scriptures at all. And that is, we're living in the dark ages today in the church age. We're living in the dark ages. There is so much doctrine, fantastic doctrine, there in the Old Testament scriptures. And pastors are not even, they just don't teach it at all. Of course, there's a reason why some of them don't teach it at all. They don't know Hebrew. They don't know Hebrew or Aramaic. And so that makes it more difficult. That makes it really, really difficult. And one thing I really appreciate from Pastor Thieme, Pastor R.B. Thieme, that when he spoke with us, several times he came to Dallas and spoke to us. Pastor Breckel, who graduated from Dallas Seminary, and he majored in the languages. Both of them, Pastor Breckel and Pastor Thieme, both of them, expressed to me and to the other young men that were there, you get all the languages you can get. And that means Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek. You get them. Now, I had had some Greek, a little Greek, and that at least I could, you could look at that and it made it look kind of like the letters in English. So when I went to Dallas, I looked at Hebrew and it looked like chicken walking across the page. And I said, I haven't got a clue what that's saying. So you know what? I'm going to major in Hebrew. I'm going to major in it. I got to know this. I know nothing about the language. I got to learn Hebrew and Aramaic. Yeah, so I majored in Hebrew, minored in Greek. Pastors today don't know Hebrew, don't know Aramaic, don't know Greek. Of course, then there's those people with Catholic background, they think the Bible was written in Latin. And it wasn't. Isaiah 35, verse 5. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. And it keeps going on there about the millennial kingdom. Water will gush forth in the wilderness. That would be in streams in the desert. That's Las Vegas. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs, and the haunts where jackals once lay, grass. Grass in the desert. The only thing I don't like about that, you got to mow it, you know. Grass, and I love rocks. You don't have to mow rocks, you know. Grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. So those entering the millennial kingdom in their physical bodies who are blind, lame, deaf, and dumb, can't hear or speak, will be immediately healed. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. 6. Most of those who enter the millennial kingdom in their physical bodies will be blessed with longevity of life because there will be no illness. There will be no illness. No sickness. Turn over to Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33, verse 24. No one living in Zion will say, I am ill, I'm sick. And the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven. Turn over to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, verse 6. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant prosperity and security. Health, healing. Heal my people. Great, great prosperity. 7. If one dies at the age of 100, it will be as if he had died in childhood. If one dies at the age of 100, it will be as if he died in childhood. Turn over to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, in Isaiah 65, verses 17 to 25, the characteristics of the millennial kingdom. Verse 20, never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days. That will never happen again. or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. That is, you've committed a capital crime, and the Lord Jesus Christ has got perfect court, righteousness and justice. You commit a capital crime, you're executed. So the only way you're going to die at a young age of 100 is to be a criminal. And then you'll be capital punishment, be executed. 8. Those children who are born to these believers in the millennial kingdom will have to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, just as their parents did before them. So those children who are born to these believers in the millennial kingdom will have to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, just as their parents did before them. But the scriptures tell us that many will, but some will not. 9. Near the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan, who has been imprisoned in the bottomless pit, will be released, set free. Near the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan, who has been imprisoned in the bottomless pit, will be released and set free. 10. When he is set free, he will try to overthrow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so damn arrogant. What did he say? I will be like the Most High God. Isaiah 14:12-14. He will try to overthrow the Lord Jesus Christ and his rule on planet Earth through the unbelievers, all those children born in the millennium who did not believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. But he will fail miserably, totally, and completely. Revelation chapter 20. And we will end with this tonight and pick it up next week with verse 21. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 7, when the 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom, is over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle, to war. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. That's how many who were born during the millennium refused to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves, Jerusalem. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. All right. With our head bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for who and what you are. All that we have and all that we are is by your grace and your power. We thank you, you've revealed your plan for us. What's ahead? What's ahead for mankind? What's ahead for the world? You have revealed that plan accurately, perfectly in your word. And we thank you, sir, that placing our faith in that absolute truth gives us confidence in our life. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.